Yeah, so today I want to talk a little bit about the mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of matzah is a Torah requirement the first night of Pesach. The rest of Pesach, there's an issur to eat chametz, but if you don't want to eat matzah, you don't have to eat matzah. We'll talk about whether it's a mitzvah to eat matzah every day. But Leil Pesach, there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to eat matzah, the Erev Tochu Matzahs. This is in contradistinction to Maror. Maror, Bizman Hazeh, is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Why is Maror different than matzah? Because Maror is only mentioned in the Torah in conjunction with Korban Pesach. You eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and Maror. Now, matzah is also mentioned there, but we have a separate pasuk for matzah, be'erev tofu matzot, that is not connected to the Korban Pesach. So be'erev tofu matzot makes matzah a d'oraisa, even without a Korban Pesach. But Maror is only when there is a Korban Pesach. So Maror Bizman Hazeh is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Now, we still make the bracha Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, because the truth of the matter is we make that bracha for all mitzvahs d'rabbanan, whether it's Megillah, Chanukah. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to listen to the Rabbanan as well. Lo sasur b'kol asher yagidu l'cha. So every d'rabbanan becomes a the oraisa, in effect. But technically, Mor is Rabbanan. That's why you'll find that in terms of the computation of the shiurim, I know if you have boys in yeshiva, they'll bring home all sorts of charts and huge amounts of matzah and moror that you have to eat. But you'll notice the moror shiur is a little more lenient because of its rabbinic nature. Now, what is interesting is that a few things. First, I want to start with maybe an unrelated interesting discussion, and that is the Talmud Yerushalmi makes the point, based on the Haftorah that we read yesterday, that when the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua and they celebrated their first Pesach and they circumcised everybody, because in the Midbar they did not do Bris Milah, and they celebrated, and the Torah, and the, not the Torah, the Navi says Vayechlu Mi'avor Ha'aretz Pesach, that the day after Pesach, meaning the second day of Pesach, they were finally able to eat the new grain. Because you're not allowed to eat the new grain of Eretz Yisrael until you bring the Omer offering on the second day of Pesach. So the Pasuk emphasizes, they did not eat the grain of Eretz Yisrael until they brought the Omer on the second day of Pesach. This is the Pasuk. The Talmud Yerushalmi comments that that means that the very first Pesach they were in Eretz Yisrael, the night before, in other words, they did not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. They didn't eat matzah that first year because they didn't have any man left over, and they weren't allowed to eat the new grain until the second day of Pesach. So the first night of Pesach, they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Amazing. They had a Korban Pesach and they ate Maror, but no matzah. Kind of a very low-carb, high-protein diet. Now, the question, the Yerushalmi then asks the question, well, wait a second here. That doesn't follow. It's true that eating the new grain before the Omer is a negative commandment in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat the new grain before the Omer. But eating matzah is a positive commandment. And there's a general rule in Halacha that if the only way I could fulfill a positive commandment is by transgressing a negative commandment, what has priority? Aseh, docha, lo ta'aseh. A positive commandment overrides a negative commandment. Now, if you could avoid the conflict, if you have non-chadash matzah, of course you have to eat non-chadash matzah. But if everything is chadash, everything is chadash. The only way you can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah is by violating the Isser of Chodesh. Aseh docha lo ta'aseh. So the Talmud Yerushalmi asks Akasha, why didn't they eat matzah?
Why couldn't they bring the Omer?
Because you cannot bring the Omer till the second day. They did bring the Omer. But the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. So for Leil Seder, everything is still Chodesh without the Omer. So they're stuck. They can't bring the Omer on the... an Erev Pesach, would that be an Erev Pesach?
Is it a red marker from
They could have had, but it mentions like this. Remember, they crossed the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. And it mentions that the man is not, they didn't have any money. They didn't have anything left over. I mean, L'chari, you could answer. There might be all sorts of, they could have bought from people, the Goyim on the way, whatever it is. But the Yerushalmi asserts they didn't have anything. So the Talmud Yerushalmi gives two answers. Why? I say, doche lo tase. One answer is that asei doche lo sasa only applies on mitzvot that were given from Matan Torah onwards. But since the mitzvah of matzah is a pre-Sinaitic law, it is a mitzvah that was given back in Egypt. It was not given in the Mamad Har Sinai. Although one might have argued maybe it should have more importance because it was given even before Matan Torah, but Chazal, in their hierarchy of mitzvot, saw a mitzvah that was not given in the Sinaitic revelation as not having the same strength and intensity. And therefore, an asei kodem hadibor, before Maimon Har Sinai, does not override a negative commandment. That is answer number one. Yeah, but it's a very excellent question. The Shagasari asked the question. Shagasari answers a bris overrides Shabbos because the positive overrides negative. Now the bris was also given before Har Sinai, but the answer is, but so was Shabbos. Shabbos was given in Mara, so therefore they're equal. They're equal. As opposed to Chadash, that was given only at Har Sinai, etc., right? So therefore, and I say, Kodem, Maimon Har Sinai, cannot be Docha, a negative commandment after Har Sinai. Yeah. So, is Achar Hadibur. Yeah, that's a good pattern. Mila Docha Shabbos is before. That is a good question. I mean, there are a lot of questions on this Teretz of the Yerushalmi, but you're right. The answer of the Shagasari for Shabbat does not work for Saras. Now, by the way, just as a little aside, let me just share with you a beautiful Ramban. Many of you probably have learned this Ramban. The Ramban explains generally why is there a rule that the positive overrides the negative. Maybe I should keep the negative. So the Ramban says, Mitzvah Taseh represents Avas Hashem. When you do something, you're showing your love for Hashem. Lo sasa, when you refrain, that's because you're expressing your awe and your reverence and your fear. And a person has to have both, of course. But since Avat Hashem is a higher, greater level than Yiras Hashem. Now, Halvai, we shouldn't demean Yira. Halvai, we would have Yiras Hashem, of course. And Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is a foundation. You can't build the 100th story if you don't have 99 stories supporting it. Without Yira, Ava doesn't work at all. But Ava is the higher level. So therefore, the Ramban says in Parshas Yisro, that is why the Aseh is Docha Lo Saseh, because Ava is a greater Madrega than Yira. So that's the first answer of the Yerushalmi, that the Aseh of Matzah is Kodem HaDibor. But then the Yerushalmi gives a second answer, which is very fascinating. It actually says, they didn't eat Matzah because of a Gezeira Midrabanan. Midrabanan, that's so old, already from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, probably from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, who had just died a short time before. And that is the following. Asei Docha Lo Sasa would permit you to eat the Kezias of Matzah, because that is a positive commandment that overrides the negative. But any extra Matzah that you eat would no longer be a positive commandment, and therefore all you have is the negative. So Chazal, whoever the Rabbanan were, Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps, made a gezeira, do not eat the first kezayit, lest you come to eat the next kezayit. This is an Isser D'Rabbanan that goes all the way back. Well, then you have a problem, especially with our kezayisim. You know, this is an example where if you want to be machmir and eat a big kezayis, you might be transgressing the issue of chadash because you've already fulfilled the basic mitzvah. These are two terutzim that the Yerushalmi brings with respect to why that first year they didn't eat matzah. But the common denominator of this answer is the very surprising conclusion that the very first Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, they did not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. That's quite an amazing thing. Yeah.
I always thought more or less, why should mitzvah not aser?
Right.
Take example, you have to bring a korban on Shabbat.
Yes.
So if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, despite the fact that it's Shabbat,
right,
bring the korban.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that the mitzvah aser is dafkei mitzvot aser.
Well,
but
that,
here,
yeah.
But here, yeah. But here in the mon with the kadash,
yeah,
there was no. Necessity for Kodesh, but it was only for that year that the problem arose.
Right.
So,
So you want to differentiate between episodic conflict that just happens, a particular situation, versus a systemic. Yeah, well, you're right, and that's exactly why korbanot are not a proof to us. In other words, the rule of Essay Dokulosa say, in fact, does apply to sporadic conflict. And Karbonov would not be approved because that's the only way you can do the mitzvah.
Right.
No, so that's why we need a supplementary principle called Essay Dokulosa. It wouldn't be derived from the Karbonovs. Karbonovs are a separate case. Okay.
Does that discuss
Well, yeah, but there it's pretty clear. First of all, the Lechem Apanim has to be baked on Erev Shabbos all the time. In fact, Lechem Apanim D'Afiyah is not Delcha Shabbos. That in fact, is the rule. In terms of Menachot, so like anything else, the Korban Tamid, remember the Korban Tamid, the Korban Musaf.
I'm not talking about in that sense. I'm talking about in the sense that they didn't have, no, there wasn't Kadosh.
Okay. So the question is, what menachot did they bring the first day of Pesach? That's a good question. You'd have the same problem, Bechora, they didn't do that either. Yeah, that's correct. Because you cannot bring a Korban Mincha from Chadash before the Omer. That's a general rule. And you can't, and there, the Chutz La'aretz wouldn't be a teretz, because the Omer cannot be brought from Chutz La'aretz. So even if they had wheat from which they could have made matzah, they could not bring a mincha. Yes, that's actually correct. I don't think the Yishalmi mentions it. Maybe the Yishalmi wanted to kind of make the more dramatic point that the whole nation didn't eat matzah, but there might be other mitzvahs as well that they were unable to do. Fortunately, remember, it was only a very short time. I mean, the next day they brought the Omer, everything was fine, but for that one day, the first day of Pesach, they were stuck.
But isn't the mincha to come from the new, or have to wait till the Shmi Lechem?
That's true also, but that's a drabban. Or at least that's a lechatchila. B'diavad they could bring a mincha is kosher min achodesh between the omer and the shtei lechem. Before the omer, it is pasul. You cannot bring from the chodesh. Okay, so now what I want to talk about mainly is the reason for the mitzvah of matzah. Now the Haggadah itself gives us two distinct reasons. In the beginning of the Haggadah, we recite in Aramaic, Kol Lachma Anya, this is the bread of affliction, the bread of poverty, the bread of suffering that our forefathers ate in Egypt. And indeed, Lachma Anya is just the Targum of Lechem Oni, which is what the Torah calls matzah in Parshat Vayeh. And the way most Rishonim understand Lechem Oni, it simply means that matzah was the food that was commonly consumed by slaves or oppressed people. A lot of reasons. Ibn Ezra, for example, says that he traveled to India and he saw that the Maharajis were giving their slaves unleavened bread because, as probably most of us know, it stays in the digestive system a long time, and therefore you can save on the amount of bread you have to give to your avodah. So in that sense, eating the matzah is a zecher, a zikaron, of avdus and servitude. Okay, that's what it reminds us of, similar to the maror, which is a symbol of slavery and servitude. And yes, later on in the Haggadah, right before the second post, We have Rabbi Gamliel's famous statement, Kol mi shelo yamar shelo shedvarim alo b'Pesach. If you don't explain three things on Pesach, you're not Yotze, you're Chiyuv of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Pesach, the Korban Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And he then goes on to give the explanation, which the Torah itself gives, that the Jewish people were in a rush, they were wanting to bake their bread the morning of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians said, you got to go right now. And actually Hashem said, you have to go right now because we're in the 49th level of impurity and we would have sunk to level 50. And therefore, v'hispik b'seikam shalav aseinu l'hachnas. Our bread, our dough could not rise. We had to bake it immediately. And therefore, eating matzah is a zecher l'chipazon. It is a remembrance of the hurriedness, of the haste with which we had to leave Mitzrayim. That Hashem redeemed us the last possible moment. That is why we should have been in Mitzrayim 400 years, but Hashem took us out after 210 years because we had to leave that moment. There are times in life where a person has to make, the whole Musar, there are critical decisions in life that you have to make at the right time, or it might be too late. Chas v'shalom, we would have hit the Shar Nun, the 50th level. So based on that reason, which again, Rabbi Gamliel didn't make it up, that's the pasuk. Vayofu es habatzek, asher tzimen shayim ubos matzas kilo chamesh, kilo yochlu lehismameya. They could not wait. And in Parshas Riyeh, in the same pasuk of Lechemoni, right, shivas yamim tochel of matzah, you should eat matzah, the bread of affliction, ki b'chipazon yatsasa mimitzrayim. So the Ramban points out, indeed, that in that one pasuk, the Torah gives me two different reasons for matzah. One is lechem oni, and the other is ki b'chipazon yatsasa mimitzrayim. So matzah is both the bread of poverty, and matzah is the bread of redemption and chipazon. And the Ramban says the Torah itself, it's not just the Haggadah, the Torah itself gives these two reasons of why we eat matzah. But here is a problem. All right, so this is good. We all understand matzah has two reasons. But the Ran, and many Meforshim, in addition to the Ran as well, but the Ran asks a very simple kasha. L'chaira, the reasons are inconsistent in the following way. The Jewish people were already commanded in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they were commanded at the first Seder to eat matzah. But not only were they commanded at the first Seder to eat matzah, they were also told, for 7 days, not only can you not eat chametz, but lo yera'eh v'lo yimatzeh, you're not allowed to own or possess chametz. So here is the problem. Now, the problem is not that Hashem gives them mitzvos based on a future event. That actually is not such much of a problem. Hashem can give us a mitzvah based on something that will happen later. But the problem is, once you have this mitzvah, then the thing that happened later makes no sense. Because the implication is, why do we eat matzah? Because we didn't have time to let our dough rise. That implies, if Paro or Hashem would have said, take your time, we would have baked chametz, but we couldn't bake chametz because we didn't have time. But that option was already taken away from you 2 weeks ago on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when you were already told you're not allowed to have chametz for 7 days. Which means, by the time we left Mitzrayim, the reason why we had to have baked matzah was not because we didn't have time. It's because we already were commanded not to have chametz and to eat matzah. In other words, again, the problem is not simply Hashem gave us the commandment before the event. That's not, I mean, they ask that kasha too. That's not much of a kasha. It's certainly possible to say God gives us a commandment based on future events. But the problem is, once you have the commandment, then matzah does not show haste anymore. In other words, what are you saying? You're saying, when I look at the matzah, I remember the haste through which we left Mitzrayim. No, I don't. It has to be matzah even if we had all the time in the world. So looking at the matzah and eating the matzah tells me nothing about chipazon, because it had to be baked as matzah. So this is the Ran's question. So the Ran, huh? Yeah.
I had with my son discussed this a lot, and when I look at the psukim where Kadosh Baruch Hu says they should eat matzah, there are other things that shows that commandment to Moshe was given ledorot.
Right.
And it could be that Moshe was not told to tell this to the Am Yisrael at that time.
So Baruch Shekilanta, basically the Ran develops the following theory, the following idea, which has Makoros in the Gemara itself, and that is, there is a chiluk between Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach that was observed that year, and Pesach L'dorot, and the Pesach that would be observed in the future, both in the Midbar and in Eretz Yisrael, but even in the Midbar. And that is, Pesach Mitzrayim, the Isser of Chametz and the Chiyuv of Matzah, was only for the first day of Pesach, the night and the first day of Pesach. The idea of matzah for 7 days, or not eating chametz 7 days, is only Pesach Dorot. And if you look in Parshat Bo, you see this. It almost, once you are aware of this distinction, it hits you very, very blatantly that that generation was told not to have chametz for the first day of Pesach and eat matzah the first night. And L'dorot, Hashem said, eat for 7 days, or don't have chametz for 7 days. And the reason was not given, but the reason for the dorot was the chipazon event that happened the next morning, which means the next morning, the Ran says, which is the first day of Pesach, they would have been permitted to bake chametz. They couldn't eat it, but they could bake the chametz and keep it for the next day, because the Isser of Bal Yeirah and Bal Yimatzeh is only l'doros. But the reason why Hashem said l'dorot, you can't have chametz for 7 days, is a zecher to the chipazon. Which means, ultimately, there are two different mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah on the first night of Pesach to eat matzah, and there's an isser on the first day of Pesach for that generation to even own chametz. But l'dorot, but for that year, they could have made chametz on the first day to eat on the second day. But Hashem said, in all future Pesachs, you can't have chametz for 7 days. I'm not going to tell you the reason right now. But the next morning, we discovered the reason. Zecher l'chipazon. In other words, the Ran is creating a bit of a complicated structure that, in fact, they could have baked chametz the morning of Pesach for the use on the second day. But since we weren't given time and we were chased out of Mitzrayim, all future Pesachim can't have chametz for 7 days because of that. Now, it turns out the following. It turns out, therefore, if you're a Jewish person who left Mitzrayim and you're eating matzah the first night of the Seder, you have no shaychus to chipazon. The chipazon event did not occur until the next morning, and you didn't even know it was going to occur. So the matzah rishona of the Leil HaSeder HaRishon could only be understood as lechem only. It could not be understood as zecher l'chipazon, because the chipazon event didn't happen until later, the next morning. And you can't even say, well, but they were thinking about it as a future event, because they didn't know. They thought they could bake chametz the next morning. So it turns out, therefore, that the kavana of the first Seder was different than the kavana of our Seder. That's why Rabban Gamliel, see, look how medoyik it is. Ha lachma anya diachalu afasana bi'ara de Mitzrayim may refer not only to what they ate as slaves, but what they ate at the first Seder. When our forefathers ate matzah in the first Seder, they were eating it as a zecher of lechem oni. Now look at Rabban Gamliel's lashon. Matzah zu sha'anu ochlin al shema. why do we eat matzah today? Lo hispik b'tseikam shalavoseinu lahachet. Now, based on this idea that the significance of matzah changed from the first Seder, first year, to all the other years, that chipazon was an extra motif, we have a very, very interesting halachic discussion that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky mentions. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky mentions the following. I had said in the beginning of my remarks that the chiyuv of eating matzah is only Leil Seder. The rest of Pesach, other than the Sudas Yom, if you're not mechuyev to eat matzah, you just are not allowed to eat chametz. And even though the Torah says Shivas Yomim Tochal Matzos, it's understood by Chazal that that's just a negative, don't eat chametz. But there is a well-known sheet of the Vilna Gaon. The sheet of the Vilna Gaon is that even though you're not mechuyev to eat matzah the rest of Pesach, every kezayis of matzah shmura that you eat, you fulfill a mitzvah. You fulfill. This is called a mitzvah kiyumit. It is not a chiyuv. Indeed, it's not a chiyuv. I don't make a bracha over it. But it's a mitzvah kiyumit. And the Gra says, Ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. And if the Torah says, Shivat yamin tochal matzos, even if Chazal say it's a rishus, but since it's b'lashon mitzvah, we l'chala pachas have to call it a rishus, that's a mitzvah, meaning it's called a mitzvah kiyumit. And many people are makrid. I mean, that's really the makor of the idea that many people will eat only shmur matzah throughout Pesach because a mitzvah kiyumit. Alright, so here is an interesting chiddush of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. We know that there are something called egg matzah, which is called matzah ashira. Matzah ashira, rich matzah, is matzah that is made with fruit juice, or eggs, or chocolate, cocoa, sugar, made peyotes, apple juice. This is called matzah ashira. Now the Gemara says in Pesachim, you cannot be yotze leil seder with matzah ashira. Why? Because since the Torah describes matzah as lechem only, poor bread, the bread of slavery, the bread of affliction, you can't be yotze with matzah that's like cake. Like this is called matzah ashira. It's the opposite of lechem only. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, there's a chiluk between Leil Seder and the rest of Pesach. Because Leil Seder, matzah has two significances. Lechem Ani and Zecher L'chipazon. Matzah Ashira fails the Lechem Ani definition. But Matzah Ashira is still a Zecher L'chipazon because when it hasn't fermented, it didn't rise. So when I look at the Matzah Ashira, I still commemorate the idea that our dough did not have a chance to rise. So the reason why I can't use it at the Seder is, since matzah at the Seder has two symbolic reasons, and matzah ashira fails one of those reasons, I can't be yotze. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to say that the chiyuv of lechem only, the chiyuv of the matzah of avdus, is only at Leil Seder because that was the original reason why the Jewish people ate matzah at the first Seder, and that reason survives. But for the rest of Pesach, the only reason to eat matzah is Zecher L'chipazon, and Zecher L'chipazon, you are Mekayim even with matzah Ashira. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to say, well, I'll explain, I'm going to have to qualify this a tremendous amount. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to be mechadesh that one can fulfill the directive of the Vilna Gaon even with matzah ashira, because the zecher li'avdus is mekushar only to Leil Seder, because that was the original intention of matzah at the first Seder, because the chipazon didn't occur yet. But with all the other 7 days of Pesach, including the first day even, that is already connected to the nes of chipazon, and matzah hashira is perfectly valid to show the chipazon, because he still chipazon, they didn't have time to let the dough rise. Now, this theoretical psak of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is not to be practically implemented for the following reason. Midina de Gemara, it is 100% true that matzah ashira is no good for Leil Seder, but it is kosher to Pesach. However, for Ashkenazim, the Ramah records a hanhaga for Ashkenazim, and not all Ashkenazim agree, but this is the Ramah's psak, that we do not eat matzah ashira at all on Pesach, except for a chola, one who has difficulty, one who is sick or a zakein, difficulty chewing, in other words, even then, you're not Yosei Leil Seder, but you can eat it, but otherwise not. And the reason is because there was some concern that the mixture of the acidic fruit juice with water might accelerate chametz, even faster than 18 minutes. Now, this is a chumrah that the Ramah brings. It is not accepted by all Ashkenazim. The Maral, for example, clearly assumes you can eat matzah ashira, and Tosfos and Arvei Pesachim also assumes you can eat matzah ashira. But the minhag is, for Ashkenazim, that we don't eat matzah ashira. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's point that you could be Yosei the Vilna Gaon for matzah ashira is not practical for Ashkenazim to follow the Ramah. Now, for many years, the old hashkacha, the old matzahs in America, Horowitz Margaretin, Manischewitz, they had to print on the side of the egg matzah cartons only mutter for chola zaken, but they didn't want to do it in English because that would be saying don't buy this product. So for many, many years, they put on the side in Hebrew, ayin shulchan aruch arachayim taf samach beis, which is a citation to the Hebrew shulchan aruch that says don't eat this. And they figured most people would just think it's another hashkacha or another thing. Now, to his very great credit, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, who was the Rav HaMachshir of Sprites, which I think just closed down there, the last matzah bakery on the Lower East Side, he insisted that it be put in English, and it says, this product should only be eaten by people who are sick or elderly, and not for the Seder, and it would quote Shulchan Aruch. So that was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's innovation. Yeah.
No, that's
the definition of lechem only is flour and water, but matzah per se could theoretically be other
but
things too.
Could you argue that there was no appetite for sugar or chocolate when they were leaving the tribe, and how could they have left
it
because
lechem ashira? Well, that's true, but on the other hand, since these things are added into the kneading. Now they did knead the dough, so it wouldn't have been that difficult to knead. The chipazon was they weren't given time to let it rise before the baking. So that's one reason why Rav Yaakov's psak is not practical. Now for Sfardim, assuming they follow the Vilna Gaon on this, it is indeed doable. Sfardim follow the psak of the Gemara that matzah, these many Sfardim, that matzah ashira is permitted, although not for the Leil Seder. So if Yaakov's Chiddush would be relevant to Sfardim, that Matzah Ashira could be a mitzvah ki yumitz for the rest of Pesach. However, even there you got a real problem. Because you'll notice when I mentioned the Vilna Gaon, I mentioned you only fulfill the mitzvah if it was Shemura, if it was made L'shem mitzvah. So it's going to be tough to find egg matzah that was made L'shem mitzvah. It can't be made l'shem the mitzvah of the Seder, because for sure you can't use egg matzah at the Seder, like any opinion, even like Sfardim, because it's matzah ashira. So are you going to find a company that says we make these matzos l'shem the mitzvah kiyumis of the Vilna Gaon to eat a kezais? Okay. Now, the Maral in his Haggadah says even a bigger chiddush than Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Now, first of all, a little bibliographical comment here. We know we have something called, well, the Maral wrote many, many works, but he wrote a very, very large sefer on Yitzhiya, all in Yonim of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, that is called Gevuros Hashem. Really a classic, classic work. And Gevuros Hashem includes large expositions of the Haggadah. There is then another sefer that is called Haggadas Maral. And if you read Haggadas Maral, you will see that 80% of it is kind of a kitzer, a summary of Vuras Hashem. And maybe 15 to 20% are new things. So there is material there that's not in the Gevuras Hashem. And the claim was, the Maral's Haggadah was discovered in the 19th century as a manuscript, etc., and it was published, etc. I just need to alert you that it is the consensus of many Talmidei Chachamim and historians that this is a forge. The Maral's Haggadah is a forgery, and in fact it was... Now again, 80% is from the Gevuras Hashem, so almost everything you read there is the Maral. But the part that's not in the Gevuras Hashem was added by a certain rabbi who was known to be a... He was a big Talmid Chacham, very interesting psychological story. But he had a problem which you might call reverse plagiarism. Plagiarism is when I take your ideas and I publish it as my own. This rabbi had a bit of a history in which he would take his ideas and ascribe them as long-lost svarim of other people, etc. So the Haggadah of the Maral is a very beautiful Haggadah, and even the ideas that are his own, maybe not the Maral, are beautiful ideas, but you need to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But what I'm going to tell you is not only in the Maral's Haggadah, it's also in the Gevuras Hashem, so this is clearly the Maral. So Maral says the following. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Leil Seder, Egg Matzah is not going to help you at all, for sure. But you could be Yosei with the Vilna Gaon's mitzvah kiyumit the rest of Pesach, but not for Ashkenazim because of the Ramah's Chumrah Masah Shira. The Maral says even more than this. The Maral says, let's say, God forbid, a person has a Seder and he literally does not have any matzah, any shmur matzah. He doesn't have any shmur matzah. All he has is Egg Matzah. The Maral says, he should still, b'diyeved, even eat egg matzah at the Seder itself. Because he says, matzah has two reasons, lechem oni and chipazon. Even if you're not able to fulfill the aspect of matzah that is lechem oni, you can still fulfill the aspect of matzah that is chipazon. So when a mitzvah has two ideas behind it, the Maral says, even if I can't do the mitzvah bishleimuta, b'diyeved, I could do one aspect. Now he says, you don't make a bracha and the like. Now again, practically, there's a lot of problems here. Ashkenazim don't eat matzah ashira. Maral apparently held you're allowed to. And number two, where are you going to get shmura matzah ashira? But at least as a theoretical point, the Maral says that not only is Matzah Ashira admissible as a mitzvah kiyumit for the rest of Pesach, but Matzah Ashira theoretically could even be a throwback at the Seder itself. This is a very, very interesting chiddush that the Maral is even more dramatic than Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said regarding these two different inyanim of Matzah. And again, the idea is that matzah started off with one thing, lechem oni. Then by the next year, it incorporated the idea of chipazon, and both of these ideas remain with the matzah always. Yes.
It was a lechem oni.
That's correct.
But they've been eating it all along.
Yeah.
So there's no chidush for them.
Okay? Yeah, well, that's a very good question. Of course, you can ask the same question about tomorrow, right? They were slain, right? But part of it is this. Part of it is, do you remember there's a beautiful medrash that Shlomo HaMelech once asked Chacham to give him a message on his signet ring that would keep him in perspective, not to get misgoyeh when things are so good, and not to be broken when one has defeats in life. And the message on the ring was Gam Ze Yavor. And there is a concept that the Meforshim say, that at the moment of our Chayrut and our liberation, we need to be humble and we need to remember what we were. That B'davka, when we're achieving liberation, we needed to connect it to our slavery at that point. So it wasn't so much we didn't remember, but Don't try to escape your past. And in fact, this really brings me to something else I wanted to share with you, which is peripherally created, connected. And that is, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim of Brisk, used to raise the question at every Seder, every year, that there is a daily mitzvah, twice a day, called Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. We have to remember the Exodus. And that means verbalize it. We have to say, in the Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Yetzchem Yeretz Mitzrayim. Pesach nights, there is a unique mitzvah that is called Sipur, V'higadot Levincha. But what is the difference between Sipur and Zechira? Even if there wouldn't have been a mitzvah of Sipur, you'd have to do Zechira. So what are you going to say? Well, of course there's a difference. You've got to read the whole Haggadah. But remember, the Haggadah is not a biblically mandated text. So as far as the Torah is concerned, what is Sipur adding to Zechira? So Rav Chaim said, Sipur is adding four structural elements that don't exist in Zechira, and the Haggadah is based on these four structural elements. Element number one is Derech She'ela U'tshuva. The whole year, I just make a statement. God took me out of Mitzrayim. Leil Pesach, it must be through a question and an answer. And even if you're by yourself, you got to ask questions. I remember when I was a kid, many, many years ago, our family was invited to somebody's Seder, and I still remember this because it hit me even then as very, very funny. One of the kids of the household was peppering his father with many, many questions about the Seder. And the father was impatient because he wanted to go on with the Haggadah. So he said, "Stop asking questions, we're running a Seder here." Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of what it is. She'elo tshuva. The second element, I'll come back to it. The second element, Rav Chaim said, is called maschil bignus u'mesayim b'shvach. It's not enough to talk about the good part. It's not enough to talk about the redemption. You gotta begin with the degradation, with the negativity, with the avdus, with the slavery, with the idolatry. This is machlokes in the Gemara, by the way. What is the gnut that you emphasize? Is it avadim hayinu? Or is it the spiritual shame? Mitchila ovdei avodazora hayu avoseinu. That's why we have both spiritual and physical and material. That is a unique requirement of Leil Pesach. The rest of the year, I don't have to be maschil biknos. The third element is Rabban Gamliel that says you got to explain Pesach Matzah Mora, and that's not required. And the fourth element was actually not Rav Chaim. The fourth element was added by the Brisker Rav, Rav Chaim's son, Rav Velvel, Rav Yitzchak Zev. The last Rav Chaim is also the Rav of Brisk. We'll be told Rav Velvel, the Brisker Rav, because he was the last Rav of Brisk before the Shoah. And he said, this is the hardest mitzvah of Pesach. The hardest mitzvah of Pesach. And that is the idea that each person must regard himself as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim. The whole year, Zechira, you remember. Leil Pesach, you must feel as if you yourself were being redeemed. So I mentioned the first night, for those of you that heard, that the Baal HaTanya offers the explanation that how does a person feel that they were taken out of Mitzrayim? I can be grateful. I can commemorate. I can remember. I can be thankful. But how can I feel I myself was a slave? So the Baal HaTanya says that the word Mitzrayim does not only mean Egypt, but Mitzrayim are mitzavim, boundaries, limitations, constrictions, blockages. David HaMelech says, Min HaMeitzar Karasika, I call out to Hashem from the narrow blockages. And the Baal HaTanya says every person has their own Mitzrayim. My own limitations, that my arrogance, my gaiva, my selfishness, my egotism. And what this does is, the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim allows me to be redeemed from my own enslavement. Which means in the Haggadah, there is a double narrative story. There is the national story of the Jewish people, which of course is the basic narrative. But then there is the personal, idiosyncratic journey that every person has to make in identifying their slavery. So these are the four elements. Sheilu Tshuva, Maschil Bignus, Pesach Matzamora, and Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo, Kilu Hu Yatsim Mitzrayim. So just to end, I just want to share with you one thought on at least one of these elements. So each of these elements deserves a whole talk in itself. Maybe in the course of Pesach I'll continue with some of it. Yeah.
I believe the Rav Soloveitchik adds two points to the idea of Sikur. One is it's an experiential episode, too, that you have to not only say over the story, but you have to reenact certain things. And that the mitzvah salayla, like Kiddush and the other things that you do, are part of actually part of the Sikur.
Yes.
And the other thing that he mentions is that the halachos that you have to say, you have to learn. The Hilchos Pesach is part of the whole
Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, that's correct. Well, again, that may in fact be nichlal in Rabban Gamliel's statement of Pesach Matsumora to all, not just say what they are, as the Haggadah does, but to actually go into the halachos. Yeah, that's correct. He says generally, too, that it's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, but okay, that's a more general mitzvah. But I just want to mention one point about Pesach Matsumora, something from the Sfas Emes. He says like this, he says, let's go in reverse order, and I'll explain why I'm going in reverse. Let's first start with Moror. Moror is, of course, to remember slavery and bitterness. Even though most of us wimp out a little bit, we don't take the strong horseradish, and in fact, the lettuce might even be halachically preferable, so just a little bit of a taste, but we're supposed to taste bitterness. The lesson there is, that the first step to becoming a liberated person is to acknowledge that we are enslaved in one way or the other. That if we don't acknowledge to ourselves that there are midot that we have to be mitaken, that there is something blocking me in my relation to Hashem, if I perceive myself as perfect without the need to improve, until I acknowledge my slavery, I cannot take steps to become free. So merirut, being margish the merirut in life, in an aspect of life, is the first step towards being free. You know, if you're lost, like this is a famous difference between men and women, by when do you ask directions? Men have to be lost at least 2 hours before they break down, and that's why men invented GPSs, so we don't have to ask directions. But until one admits that they are lost, there is no way you can find the way, because one doesn't even know that there's a problem. So Moror is the honesty of identifying that there is a slavery, and that enables the capacity for freedom. Now Matzah, we all know that many people say, you know, matzah represents gaiva, puffed up. That's the most common understanding. I'm sorry, not matzah, chametz. Chametz represents gaiva, puffed up. Matzah is anava. But the Maharal makes another point about matzah, in addition to this. And he says, chametz represents inertia. Because when water falls on flour, if you do nothing, it becomes chametz. You don't need to make something chametz. Chametz is what happens by itself. Matzah requires action. So here is the thing. The relationship of Moror to matzah might be the relationship of Freudian psychotherapy to behavioral therapy. How is that so? Moror is deep introspection that makes me understand my problems. But a person can go to psychoanalysis for 50 years and they know every single trauma that ever happened in their life, and they know pre-birth trauma and maybe even preconception problems, you know, whatever it would be. So they certainly understand everything about themselves. But at some point, change in life occurs only when you make decisions. They could be small things. You know, all of us get inspired. There are moments of inspiration in life. It may be after Yom Kippur, it may be the Chag of the Seder itself. It may be the birth of a child or a grandchild or a chasna. And a person feels their heart is open. They feel close to Hashem. But if they don't concretize it in terms of doing something extra in life, some mitzvah, some hanhaga, some gesture, bein adam l'makom or bein adam l'chaver, then inspirations are ephemeral. Emotions come and go. And therefore, if maror is the honesty to acknowledge that I need to change in some way, matzah is making the change, taking the action. That's the yisod of matzah. And we then come to Korban Pesach. And Korban Pesach is a very interesting korban, because the halacha is that with Korban Pesach, you must bring it with other people. You have to have a chabura. Even if you have a big appetite and a little lamb, and you could finish the whole thing yourself, we paskin, it's machlokas in the Gemara, we paskin, ein shochtin es ha-pesach al ha-yachid. A yachid cannot bring a korban pesach. What that represents is, in our spiritual journeys in life, we need to find other people that can give us chizuk and that we can give chizuk. Again, it could be in an ideal way, our own spouses, our children, our families, our friends, our kehilot, our chavrusas, whatever it would be. If you don't have a biological family that can help you with this, so you find a spiritual thing. People that you connect to. Because, as Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Tovim Hashnayim Mino Echad, two are better than one, because if one falls, who will bring him up? If two, one falls, there is someone to pick him up. We give chizuk, we get chizuk, each of us become better and stronger. That is the idea of a marriage in an ultimate sense, to create a whole that is greater than the sum of the individual parts. Reyim Ahuvim. So, these are the steps here. Acknowledge your slavery in whatever degree, take action, and find a community with whom you can grow. Now, the only question we would ask is this. That is, if maror is identifying the problem and matzah is taking action, one might say, I ought to eat the maror before I eat the matzah. Because the maror is what I need to fix, and the matzah is the commitment to fixing it. So why do I eat the matzah before the maror? So the truth of the matter is, according to many Rishonim, the main mitzvah of matzah is in fact the afikomen. The afikomen. So it turns out, although we start the meal with the matzah, but the mitzvah of matzah is the afikomen, so we do eat the maror before the matzah. But, like the Rishonim that say that the kezayis rishon is the main mitzvah of matzah, why do I eat the matzah first? So here, I would just add that I think there may be a psychological insight here, and the psychological insight is that when a person directly confronts problems, they sometimes get overwhelmed and depressed and feel hopeless. So don't confront your maror till you've internalized that you have the koach to change and to grow. And then, you can then look at what you need to be misaken. That's a general. The Chiddushi Arim says about Yom Kippur, which is somewhat connected here, that before you concentrate on the mistakes of the past, the first step in all tshuva is to focus on the ability to make a different future. Because if you dwell on the past too much, although it's indeed part of the Hilchos Tshuva, to have charata al ha'avar. But, he says psychologically, you don't do a charata al ha'avar till you're strong enough to have a vision of how things can be different in the future. Then you go back and you try to fix the things in the past that didn't work. Just end with one story. The story goes by the Hasidic Rebbe that he and his Talmidim, his Hasidim, did a bedikas chametz, a little bedika, and it was very thorough, and the Talmidim were very confident that they had gotten rid of all of the chametz. And they said to the Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, we've gotten rid of all of the chametz. And the Rebbe pointed to his shirt and his chest, and he said, and what about here? How do I do a bedikas chametz here? And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, you're pater from the bedika. The Mishnah says, any place that you don't bring in chametz doesn't have to be searched. He says, your heart is a place that is a chametz-free zone. Well, Baruch Hashem, that's a great, great thing. But for, you know, most of us, we all have to look into our hearts and our souls, and simultaneously, along with the burning of the chametz, the destroying of the chametz, we should also work on the chametz of the heart, and in that way, Pesach will become a true zman of geula and cheres, the cheres haguf of Am Yisrael, but also the cheres hanefesh as well.